This meeting is now being recorded.
Did you hear that, Colin?
Thanks.
And that is being recorded.
All right.
Whether or not it goes in the spreadsheet that way initially,
right,
I mean, I think
I think the way Jordan's talking about it is, in fact, pretty much adhering to what we talked about as the template, which is to identify what the questions are and to figure out what the research projects are associated with those questions and find the holes. I think the net result of that will be populating the template.
Okay.
Yeah, we can, I would rather, for the purposes of the, our in-person time, that we really focus on making sure that we've identified the projects, and then we can spend some offline time mapping that back in the template to make sure it all, the form is correct. All right. Anyone else have anything they would like to cover during our time?
This may come up, but at some point I'd like to talk about data at a fairly high level of generality, just because I think it affects the projects that we will be able to do.
Sure.
When we identify the projects, is the project that seems to do related to, say, market segmentation? If that would be the case, probably I would suggest maybe we first discuss about market segmentation and then come up with projects. Well, I don't know.
So I think some of the projects will need market definition, and some of them will not. It depends on the question, on the particular question. Some of the competition-related questions obviously will need a notion of a market, but some of the consumer choice questions, for example, might just be, we might just say, do consumers view these as being useful alternatives or something like that? I don't know. We'll have to figure out what the projects look like. But so for that reason, I think it makes sense to start with the projects. So when we get to places where we say, oh, we need to have market segmentation in order to do this, we can flag that for the market segmentation discussion. Jonathan, you look like you've got something about to...
Yeah, no, I'm just letting it percolate a little bit.
All right. So I'm going to try to pull up our list of questions that we had proposed from last time. I think we should have a big whiteboard. I guess maybe we can use that.
Absolutely.
That little,
that's part of what it's
that not big whiteboard, not big.
Everybody's probably logged into the internet.
Also, a whiteboard function in Skype.
That
not in Skype. In
Can you have markers for this?
I do.
Okay. So, are you looking for the questions that came out of LA, or the research or stance documents that?
No, we're going to essentially merge those two documents as a result.
Which documents?
So we had a list of questions that came out of our discussion, and the prioritized question that came out of the discussion in Marrakesh, which I have here. So I'll put the really high-level questions. There's some of these breakdowns, so. Has the expansion of GTLDs been effective at promoting price competition between TLD operators?
That is to say, promote.
Wow. Using Stan's definition, would this be classified as categorized as what is that? What is a positive?
Positive.
Versus normative.
Just say what happened.
Right. But I think this is
Jordan.
Not
what happened.
It's more of a judgment call.
No. It's supposed to be what happened.
I think it is more of a judgment call. Well, first of all, we have to decide whether competition exists or not.
You will not be able to address this question until we write down the actual test that we're going to do.
Right.
That's what I try to do here. I try to be specific about how I would test that. Okay?
Well,
So we'll come back when we enumerate the projects. It will maybe will help if we can agree on what the data analysis we're going to do under that question. That may help sort of bridge this gap between whether it's normative or positive. But the goal is to do a positive analysis of what happened. So the next question is, has it promoted non-price competition? All right, I'm going to put these on different pieces of whiteboard, whatever this is. And then we can come back and map the projects into it and make sure that there's some good stuff written on each page. Then there's this markets question, which I'm actually not going to leave here because it will go into these other ones. Has the introduction of new TLDs affected competition amongst registrars or resellers? Those are our competition high-level questions. And then consumer choice.
I have more. Don't worry.
All right. Consumer choice, we have further segmentation and regulation of the namespace valuable to consumers. Those are our questions. Maybe I'm scared of the brainstorming. Stan doesn't need to be brainstorming because he already has a bunch of ideas. So for the rest of us, what we could do is take our post-its and try to pose projects on the post-its for each of these things and put them on the things. And give ourselves a few like, to see this. To,
no,
what is a project? What could you do in order to actually? No, no. The what could one do with
what can we do?
Data in order to try to answer each of these questions?
So I, in the Google Sheet I was talking about, map all the resources based on categories. So if you want, it might help you.
But you would know which data was there.
And let's say, you know, filter for category one. Let me write down what numbers each category has.
Sure. So for example,
let me just see what data we do have.
Exactly.
Right.
That they relate back to that.
And I have four markers if you need them.
And it could be, you could also propose, if you think it's...
Can that first page be rewritten? It's a, how do you read it?
Yeah, well, I'll read
it. There's pens in the room, though, right?
And there's pens in that tray over there.
That was just a previous marker, I think. So what we might do is have Stan give us an example of, before we get too far into this exercise, of the best way to state the question in a, I mean, obviously we have that many examples in his document, but for purposes of exercise, if maybe Stan gave us an example of one of these, or you could pull it out of the document so that we were...
Right, so Stan's already done it. So, for example, on promote price competition, Stan has already proposed
a couple of
projects.
Yes. I'm actually confused about where we are, quite frankly. I thought when I produced my list, I was going to get feedback from people about it, and I thought we would arrive here today with a more or less standard version, modified version of my list. I only got comments from one person. Thank you, Will. But this doesn't seem like a terribly efficient way to come up with a set of research projects. I must say that it just seems this very strange way to proceed.
Choice B is... We can go through Stan's list.
Pick my list apart and add to it. Specific questions.
What is that? I'm a little confused. Are we saying, when we say research, is that equivalent to data collection?
No.
No.
If I seem frustrated, it's because I am.
Sure.
Right.
All right.
So this is, I think we're probably making up for the fact that you didn't get feedback, right? So, I mean, I think...
So I can leave the room, go out for a nice lunch, and come back.
Well, I think, roughly, I think what my intent was to seed this with your projects.
Actually, I apologize for this.
Sure.
Could I 3 minutes to talk about data?
Sure.
Because that will dictate what we can do.
Sure.
Because I have been thinking about this a lot and worrying about it a lot as I put together a list of projects. So maybe... Take a few minutes to talk about that. So if I can just do that first, that fill up the schedule. Okay. All right. Not surprisingly, as an economist, I thought we need data on prices and quantities, which is not a huge surprise. So I try to think about what the data sources are for these price things. Thanks to Jonathan and subsequent work by the analysis group, we now have access to registrar prices. Quite extensive set of register prices. I'm not sure whether they actually are for all TLDs or just the new ones. I think it's all of them.
I think it's almost all of them.
Almost all TLDs.
A lot of CCs, but
so,
not all CCs.
But with respect to GTLDs, we have
almost
that's
all.
The
almost
best
all.
Source of data
yeah.
that we have. We have a fairly. The drawback is the one that I pointed out before. I won't belabor you about it any further, which is there's not a single price. For each
right.
of those registries. And in fact, the range is extraordinarily wide. Harry was quite right this morning. It's a very interesting question as to why the disparity is as great as it is. I don't want to explore that. But with respect to data, we have those data. Okay? Registry prices. My understanding at this point, and this is going to be a question for Elisa, that ICANN has registry prices, that is the wholesale prices. But no.
They provided that to analysis group. ICANN does not have that.
You do not have it. How do you enforce the price caps on price capped TLDs?
Those are the legacy TLDs.
I understand that. Do you have those their prices?
They
wondering, well, if you don't have those price data,
sorry, are you asking for the wholesale prices?
The wholesale prices.
Tell me the question again.
The prices that registries charge registrars.
Right.
Okay. Does ICANN have a, for each registry, have the wholesale price?
Legacy and new.
All of them.
I'm not sure. I have to check.
Well, my understanding at this point is...
I'm not sure.
Well, okay. The point is that we are tasked with analyzing the effect of the entry of new GTLDs on price competition. It would seem to me, in order to do that, we need price data.
Yeah.
Okay?
And also, I think...
Even Kali would agree with me on that.
Well, come on. But I think...
No, not when you have logic on your side.
Both data and logic.
So we don't know whether ICANN has it. I don't know. But second, let me finish. Apparently, the analysis group will have access to those data, correct?
That they got directly from the registry.
A comprehensive list of price data.
That's right.
Yeah.
They have price data for every registry for which they requested it.
And
they did not request it from every registry.
Can you tell us? So I don't know anything about that. Can you tell us what we have, what they have?
They constructed a sample based on this.
Okay. All right. It would seem to me important for us, the committee, to know what they asked for. But this is extraordinarily fundamental.
Who they asked it from or what data they asked for?
Two separate questions. First, who they asked it for. And second, I understand there's a confidentiality issue.
Right.
I would be prepared to sign the same non-disclosure agreement that the analysis group did to have access to the data. Okay. So I think it's odd that this committee, or at least some members of it, do not have access to the data, given that our remit is to analyze the effect of the introduction of new GTLDs on price competition. Okay, so there's an issue of where those price data. A imperfect substitute for that is we could direct the analysis group to do calculations based on those data to our specifications. So that's a separate question. Suppose we never get the data. To some degree, at least, we would need to be able to ask them to do calculations on our behalf. I myself learn a lot by mucking around in the raw data.
Yeah.
So I would like to be able to see the data. I could formulate hypotheses or figure out things that we could actually do that I may not now know that we can do. But I need to know more about what they asked for and what the terms are that we could either get access to it or ask for calculations.
So let me answer those two questions quickly before I forget all the questions I've been asked. In terms of what they asked for, I've sent to this team, and I can send it again, the actual data request that was sent to each registry in the sample and what figures they asked each registry.
Okay, I guess I may have missed that.
Right. I can provide.
Can you describe the sample of a list of...
We can describe how they constructed the sample and how many registries are in it and so forth. But the idea of hiring an analysis group from the beginning was to have a third party do this because we didn't want to have ICANN to have any access to that data and tangentially for none of that data to be publicly accessible to anyone else who doesn't have a non-disclosure agreement. So I understand the frustration. I get it. And I also understand wanting to play around with data. That's part of why we're all here, right, is a love for data.
Yeah, it's just that it's so fundamental to what we have been asked
to do. I appreciate that.
That not having access to it seems to me very strange.
So there's a couple of questions I think this raises. This is Jonathan Zook, for the record. I guess we need to keep saying that.
Yes.
We are being
recorded
and transcribed. And that's been Stan that's been talking for quite a bit about this beforehand. But the two things come to mind immediately as this conversation is progressing. One is, is there a way for analysis group to provide the data to us in an anonymized form so that it's not apparent who the actual registries were in the sample?
Yeah.
And the second question is it possible to get, we had this conversation about data ninjas at one point, which was
Jordan's recommendation. Is it possible for a couple of people to be designated as data ninjas, one of which would be Stan, and actually sign non-disclosures so that they were a part of the inner circle of the data and therefore could have access to it in order to create expanded hypotheses and things like that? So I don't know who all it should be. It might be Stan or and me or something like that, but I think we'd be willing to be beholden to a non-disclosure if that made it possible to create a bridge between the outside group and the review team.
Exactly. Well, just in addition to what Jonathan was talking about, I would suggest to see into the possibility that our whole sub-team, our whole team CCRT, to sign that non-disclosure and then gain access. Because I agree that this is fundamental to what we do. Otherwise, without seeing the data, it's really hard to, for us to tell whether we agree to the analysis group's conclusion or not to disagree. So
one thing I will note is that there was some discussion about this, at least within the registry group, about in particular sharing premium lists, which was something that didn't happen in the first analysis group report and did in the second go-round. And there was some assurance given to the registry that only analysis group was going to see the data before they provided that information.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, you somehow have to be able to go back to people and say, hey, the assumption under which you provided this data is going to change, has changed before, at the very least before we gave it to the broader CCTRT, non-disclosure or not. It may be that if we had a very small sub-team, you know, Stan and some, there's a big difference between Stan seeing the data and me seeing the data, I think.
I was going to make
right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'd have to be very careful about who we were to expose it to, and I think we'd want that group to be small to try to adhere as closely as possible to the assumption that
was made.
The promises made to the registries before they provided the data.
And realistically, most people aren't going to play with the data. I mean, they're just not going to.
Let me ask another question, because this has to do with sort of the working relationship between this committee and the analysis group. There's a gap between us. They're over there doing their stuff, and we're doing our stuff. And I've talked to Greg, but not for weeks. A somewhat imperfect way to deal with the problem I'm describing is for me to actually be able to talk to them in some detail about exactly what they have and direct them to do specific calculations on our behalf and to some degree talking to them in detail about what data they have without disclosing particular observations might go part of the way toward helping me better formulate hypotheses. But that involves a more intimate working relationship with them than we now have. And I don't know how ICANN feels about that.
So let me answer in this way. I think it's analysis group was hired to do a specific set of research that was commissioned in response to the IAG's recommendations. The complication we have, and I don't have any problem with you talking to Greg, I think that's absolutely useful. The problem we have is they have a very specific scope. So if you're communicating separately with him and now things are going to be outside or additional streams of research, which is fine, I think we need to find a way to streamline that discussion so that we can make sure that they're able to produce what is in their current contract with us and, you know, adding on research as well. So in terms of the reports they're producing now, or for the data analysis that they're doing now, I think they have a very clear mandate for what they need to be doing, and obviously doing comparisons to last year and so on and so forth. If there's, I think what we're hoping from these next 2 days is coming up with any additional streams of analysis that we can give them. I think we need to put kind of a, not quite a deadline on it, but there needs to be a point where we say, this is what we are asking you for, and, you know,
you're preaching to the choir. I wanted to start this in February,
yeah.
But someone told me to relax.
Well, and we, but, well, we did, Stan, we did do some of this.
I understand.
When we changed the data request in response to your comments and
your
suggested analyses. So I think we're on the way. I think I'm hoping that this exercise today and tomorrow will get us to a point where we can have a project list and we can say these are the calculations we want them
and
to
do. And I
know.
Think this, we're talking about a working relationship among you, me, some member of the members of the committee, and the analysis group, so that we can actually, you know, do this and move the ball forward. Because I think with respect to our requirements, we're not having much of the way of input to what they're doing. And to say that we have things we want to do, we need a way to find out, to find a way to get them to do it for us, if that's the best we can do.
Right. So that's what we're doing today.
I understand. I just want to be clear.
Okay.
That was the, we started off, by the way, this conversation was talking about registry prices. And that's how we got into this discussion.
Right.
But that's just one illustration of it. So if I could just go on to the last, I said I was only talking for 3 minutes.
I didn't leave you.
Elisa interrupted me.
Yes, she returns the time back to the distinguished teacher.
Thank you. Registrar quantities we actually have now, at least for the new GTLDs, right?
Quantities of registration
quantities
per
registrar.
That is something that is in
each registry. We have a number for them.
Yes.
And it comes either from the source that Jonathan found or from the source that the analysis group is going to be using. Talking about registrar price, registrar quantities.
Registrar quantities.
Yes.
Okay?
Correct.
All right. And that's pretty good. I mean, I think that's actually very helpful. That's moving the ball forward. I think those are primarily, well, maybe they're not, I think they're primarily for new GTLDs, but that may be wrong. Maybe that, actually, I obviously like to have them for all GTLDs. I think they may have them for all of them. Which now brings me to registry quantities. We have the same problem as we had with respect to, well, a different problem with respect to prices. My understanding is that ICANN releases registry quantities with a 3-month lag. Is that correct?
Publicly, yes.
Publicly available.
Yes.
Are you releasing them to the analysis group on a real-time basis?
No. We're releasing, they're not getting this continuously, so they're looking at a moment in time. So we'll provide it to them for the moment in time that they want to do
it. It'll be current on the date they get the data.
Or the date that they request it for, yes.
Okay, fine. But it'll be current. It won't be the data from 3 months previous.
Correct, but we won't, I don't think we'll, yeah, I mean, if we publish something in October, we're probably not going to be publishing it with September numbers. We're probably going to be publishing it with, like, June numbers or July.
But what will the analysis group get?
Whatever they ask for at the time.
If they ask
their
for
analysis.
The October number, if they ask for the August number, give them the August number.
Yes, if it's available.
If it's available, not with a 3-month lag.
No. But I think that we've already provided them with the numbers that they
okay, fine.
Yeah.
I have the same problem that I have there with respect to prices, which is I like to muck around with those data, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
Okay. Obviously,
quantity data is of interest to us as well.
Right.
And so we're back to the question of, are they going to do the calculations for us? Will we be able to request additional calculations, et cetera?
So here you can muck around with the...
With the
3-month-old data, and then we could ask analysis group.
Yeah.
Could
you, we could say, analysis group, can you do the same thing for the current data?
I could do that. That's correct. I raised sort of one other point here, which is CCTLD registration data.
Right.
We had a conversation, some of us had a conversation with Center the other day, and my understanding is that they will supply us with, should I do this? They report in their quarterly report a number which they describe as worldwide registrations for CCTLDs. Turns out.
What center membership?
Turns out it's worldwide.
Center members.
Not
all.
It's because
all
it goes beyond Europe. Yeah.
It's beyond Europe, but it's not...
Center membership goes beyond
Europe. But it's limited to their members.
Yeah.
So, a gap in the data, I won't blame this on ICANN, it would be good if we could find data for CCTLDs in the regions not represented in the center data. That's sort of request one. We've also requested to Center that they provide us with individual CCTL data for individual members. And I think they said they would try to do that.
They said they would try to do it within the limits of confidentiality.
Exactly. For some, they have some members who don't would not let them release the data. But
if and I wasn't on the call, by the way.
But to some degree, but I believe they, my understanding was they produce in their report the top 10 center members, individual registrants. It would be good to have a longer list, and I think we're in the process of we've requested that they supply us with as long a list as they can provide to us. That would be useful to have.
But can I interrupt you
sure.
just on that one? Because Center includes a lot of countries, including Canada, for example, plus others.
Now in Europe.
It has, in anticipation of a Trump.
No,
exactly, but they're a member, Russia's a member. Anyway, the point is, my point is that you have also a lot of countries, and of course don't ever think that this is to imply that these countries are not important to equal partners, etc. However, you have Malta, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, etc., etc. Estonia is perhaps a special case, but my argument is, for the center data, why don't we just look at the top five or six or seven? I mean, you don't want to get so much involved in all the detail, I think.
But for some purposes, we want a good aggregate.
Aggregate, exactly.
But regionally.
It will depend.
And it's as a regional amount.
Let me give you a specific example of why we might want more detail that relates to a point that Laura raised in response to me. In my list of questions, he says there are some CCTLDs that he described as open in the sense that they seem to compete with GTLDs.
Yeah, exactly.
Dot TV, I mean, right, yeah. For example. So for some purposes, we might want to... So for some purposes, we might want to define a market that includes GTLDs and some CCTLDs. And for that purpose, we would want more refined data.
Yeah, I agree. But then there's also the case of competition between the CCTLDs, the legacy TLDs, and the new GTLDs, which will allow us to have a view of whether the new GTLDs have fulfilled one of their objectives, which was to increase consumer choice, consumer trust, and competition in the marketplace. And they're in competition with all those other, not all, those other two groups of...
I'll just repeat something I said a long time ago. I don't think we can definitively define the markets. I think we're best off coming up with a number of possible market definitions and do the best we can to analyze concentration within them.
I'm all for best we can.
Okay.
But the overall system.
I think one of the things that's come up with the review team as well, that in addition to the TV, LYs, MEs that are direct thematic competitors, there's a very strong feeling that regionally the CCTLDs are perfect substitutes for generic GLDs.
Exactly.
For that region. So co.uk is a functional equivalent to .com
it may be that in some markets the CCTLD actually has the same position that .com has in like the US market.
Right, exactly.
Which is like that's what people prefer and default to.
Like in Germany it's like not even a contest.
So this is a case where what we can do will be dictated by what data available.
Right.
I've got no problem with that. I just want to say one more thing, which is the park domain issue, which I don't know whether ICANN knows about whether domains are park. NTLD stats reports park domains. The first thing I saw when I looked at the NTLD stats data were how many were parked. And it just seems to me like you have to think about those differently. And it varies a lot among domains. And therefore, for some purposes, even if we can get better data from ICANN, we might want to use less accurate data from another source, because it will permit us to do some kinds of analyses, like the park domain stuff, that we couldn't do with the ICANN data. And I think that's a, I wouldn't think this was a big deal if it was 10% of the domains, but it's 75%, which means that it's, there can be some domains which is much bigger than that. It's important to
do what's that. Your assumption on parks? What is your hypothesis? If you've got a high number of parks, what does that mean?
There are two possibilities I've learned. One is they're held by speculators, and some of those may eventually be sold to somebody else. Some of them are probably, given the large numbers, I suspect, hypothesize, that they are domains that are held by speculators that, in fact, where the speculation will turn out to be a failure. And finally, there are some where apparently they are held by somebody who hasn't yet gotten around to using them.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So what I would propose to do...
But are any of those three bad?
Let me tell you why I care about this.
Right. What's the question?
Let's suppose that they, in fact, were all held by speculators, none of whom will be ultimately successful in selling them. But I would say that the market shares of those of domains in which those are particularly important are artificially inflated, that when we get to the long-run equilibrium, they will have many fewer, the quantities will be much smaller than the ones we observe in the current data. So I'm proposing a range of calculations, which in one hand treats them as if they're just the same as everybody else, and the other one, they are completely ignored, probably too extreme as well, and the truth is probably somewhere in between. As you can see, I propose right at the very top that we do all the calculations, if we can, with them in or and out. And it's not anything with good or bad. It's the question of we're trying to assess how this market is evolving, and the question is should we treat every currently held domain as if it's going to be used at some time in the future? And I think that seems to be too extreme.
Yeah. Well, just first, I fully agree with saying, well, parked versus non-parked. Well, for the case of what the info I collected among my friends in China, this industry, first of all, they all tell me over 90% is for speculation. Secondly, among those not for speculation, that means who can be at least be resolved on the internet. They tell me over 90% is for defensive purposes. So that 290% added together, that leaves, say, the 1% is for what ICANN's new GTLD program was, when it was introduced, it was intended for. So anyway, I think in addition to those being parked, I was wondering if those for defensive purposes, that means which the new GTLD domain name was actually just playing the role as a link to whatever else, that shows it is also Stan talked earlier today about say multiple registrations. So this, whether some data could be collected to find out about this defensive purpose registration, and also like multiple registrations, but not actual multiple sites. And so
sometimes domains will point to an existing site but the owner may still think that's valuable because it's a mnemonic or it has traffic value of its own or something like that.
Sure,
Amazon isn't registering a number of
as well as Google.
You know, like, well, no, but it, within other people's TLD. So Amazon.photography, for example, might take you to their store where they sell photo equipment. That store already existed. They're not doing anything other than providing another entry point into that existing content. But for whatever reason, they've decided they think that, that that's valuable to have that additional entry point. You know, I bought cct.wiki. I didn't create the CCT wiki. It just creates a pointer to that content. So somehow we have to disambiguate between cases where the owner is intentionally sort of providing more namespace for an existing resource versus, oh, I feel obliged to get this name in order to provide.
It turns out that NGTLD stats has a large number of different categories of the argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not proposing we do all of them.
Right.
I'm just saying that, in fact, it's possible to do this analysis. It seems to me this is such a big number that we can't possibly not comment on it. It just seems to me impossible.
Well, the other thing that I think would be really interesting, the thing that we're missing from the NTLD stats data is the legacy TLDs.
Exactly.
And it's hard to, right, well, how does this compare?
Absolutely.
If it was the exact same percentage as .com, you would say, aha, well, this is just how people use domains.
Well, one of the things, I think this also came out of my exchange with Proto, and it'd be kind of hard to do this. This is like a much more sophisticated study than we can probably do. It's possible that the number of park domains declines with the age of the domain.
Mm.
So that you'd see that we might expect the percentage to be smallest for those who went online in 2014, and the ones that are that be biggest be the ones that occurred later, that are entered later. That would be interesting. So that would suggest it's more like, well, they just haven't gotten around to using it, as opposed to...
Or they haven't realized that it's not sellable yet.
I mean, Jordan knows this probably better than I do, but most of that analysis, at least, if it isn't valuable, then they drop it and it doesn't get renewed. So you might pick up some of that analysis by looking at how many domain names are not renewed after.
What are renewal rates? That's another good question. What are renewal rates? I think that's a good question.
That's what they do. They do the math. It's going to cost me this much to keep this name. You know, is it worth it?
Right.
You know, am I going to get it out? Yes or no?
I think that's a good project to add.
Yeah.
To see what the renewal rates look like. Now we're not going to see very much of that in the new GTLDs. But you're right. What is the source of data for renewals?
Some already been around a year.
Right.
What is the source of data?
I can get
renewals?
Renewal data.
It's in the.
Do you have like a regular report that we want?
Yeah, it's in the monthly transaction
report.
Okay, we'll talk offline.
Does it include renewal rate? The problem is that
not rate, no. Just the number.
You have to somehow back into the.
Yeah.
No. Oh, sorry.
It just says how many renewals.
They have a transaction report, and it says how many of this type of transaction.
How many deletes, how many renewals.
You can't link them to specific. That's something that the Nielsen registry study should look at.
Right. All right, so we're at 1 o'clock.
Sorry.
I need to break in here. Regarding lunch service, the restaurant does not have to-go boxes.
All right, so we're
going to... We cannot toast the silverware and stuff through the lobby. And we only have food service until 1:45.
Oh.
The safeguards team has broken and gone for a fast half-hour lunch, 20 minutes to half hour.
Yeah.
And it's been suggested by the meetings team that we do the same thing and then come back and reconvene.
So where are we going?
Well, you know when you're in the lobby and there's that restaurant called Robert's?
Yeah.
I'll lead you there again.
Yeah, follow.
In the desert.
It's
a private dining room. I think
the computer is here. Is okay, right?
I would take it.
Sidewalk.
I don't know if that door is locked or
not. Yeah.
I didn't want to hijack the discussion.
But it's up to you.
But you did. But
Alex is that they are going
no, but
Alex,
that was your intention. Not that it's bad.
It's
that's
only
funny.
Because you didn't let me start in February.
I know.
Right.
I'm happy to take your phone. So
you should. To encourage you to think about having one of our next meetings, it's not very good. But the colors are
I don't need to be convinced. I'm
if you run up against the media.
I
think this is going to be one of the areas where we're going to start to one of the largest challenges too, though.
Okay, that's your task.
Okay, that's right.
We'll
no, right, the Greek one, my God.
No, I'm serious.
Especially right there.
Well, whenever you're open,
people to get interested in meeting
The ones that are, those are the ones that are.
I don't know what the status of the room is.
We're
trying to find out.
Can we leave stuff here?
The Elisa was saying that she
Okay.
Let's take your own papers.
Don't take my yellow pen.
Okay. I think that study's probably safe.
Dennis Chang remembered that in L.A. I was the person with the yellow pad instead of a laptop.
There's nothing wrong with a good
old-fashioned laptop. I never lose power.
Yeah.
Oh, my internet connection. Yes?
I just looked at those PAC figures in the 90s. Some even 99% of all the domains.
What they get?
The PAC domain.
Yes.
Some are 99%.
Oh, sure. The average is 75%.
Yeah. Most of them are in the 90s.
A bunch of them are in the 90s. Absolutely correct. Look.
Is that what the GPS is all about?
When I was a graduate student, we learned about the South Sea Bubble and the Tulip Bubble. You know these?
Bubble?
This was apparently the time, I don't know whether this was in 1516, maybe the 1800s or something, that somehow everybody thought the tulip would go up in value forever.
There was a huge
demand for tulips. And so if you looked at the tulips prices in that year, you would think they were extraordinarily valuable. Turned out they weren't.
Uh-oh.
Another one had to do with land on South Sea Islands, the South Sea Island bubble. So then we'd be seeing a bubble. I mean, they're sort of, we don't know. But yeah, they're big. I bet there are some at 99%. I haven't looked at individual ones, but you're certainly right. They look.
It's one team.
There must be a bunch in the 90s. If the average.
Most of them are in China. One.